Gevurcht, everybody. We learned yesterday Parshas Kisetze, of course, the opening section of the Parsha deals with going to war. As we're discussing in Sefer Dvarim, preparing Moshe Rabbeinu, preparing Klal Yisrael to enter Eretz Yisrael, one of the critical elements in preparation is war. There's going to be war. We're going to be commanded to deal with the Shiva Amamim, to destroy, to kill the Shiva Amamim. And war is something that we were not prepared for, of course, in the Midbar, although there were times of Sichon and Moav where we had to defend ourselves. But in Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be war. And part of the preparation that Moshe has to teach Bnei Yisrael is how exactly we are commanded to fight. That is Parshas Kisetze. So if you take a look, and you'll see the Mar Makomos on the side, I'm quoting directly Psukim from the Parsha. Let's start together the opening of Parshas Kisetze, which you see in front of you. You're welcome to use your own Chumashim if you look here on my Mar Makomos. But the opening Pasuk in the Parsha, Parshas Kisetze, reads, and it's underlined in bold, Kisetze l'milchama levecha, when you will go out to war against your enemies, foreshadowing God promises that you will be victorious, God will deliver the enemy into your hands, vishavisa shivya, and you will take captives. That's part of war. There's booty, there's captives. Vereisa b'shivya ishas yifas toar v'chashakta bav lakachta l'chaisha. You will see this beautiful woman that you will desire. You may take her for yourself as a wife. We're not going to address now the halacha, the mitzvah, the sugya, the topic of Eishas Yifas Torah. We have done so in the past. But the Rashi quotes the Gemara saying, Dibra Torah keneged Yetzer Hara. We know that being in war is a very, very difficult, trying, emotional, spiritual, and physical thing. Therefore, the Torah was matir us. If you fall in love with this beautiful, beautiful woman, this captive, you could take her for yourself and marry her. However, it's not so easy, the Torah says. You can't just take her and grab her. There are certain things that you have to do to make her look repulsive so that you will not be attracted to her. And the Torah goes on to define, as the Bar Benel says, six different rules, six different things that happen in order to try to encourage you, inspire you not to be attracted to her. So the Torah goes through those things as follows. Number one, V'heveisal toch beisecha v'gilchas rosho, you'll shave her hair. V'asasas tzipurneha, you'll let her nails grow long. That's the second item. Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'heisira simlas shivya me'aleha v'yashra beisecha uvachsa es avia v'esima yarchyamim, you remove her garments of captivity from her. She will be so overwhelmed, she will cry for a series of yerach yamim, a whole month. If after all of that, you're still interested, you are still falling in love with her, then the Torah says, then she can be your wife. And finally, Pasuk Yudal, if you're not interested in marrying her any longer, if you're not desire her, if you're not interested in her, you know what you're supposed to do? Send her away. You could let her go free. But however, you can't sell her for any money. She's not yours. You can't keep her as a servant because she has been afflicted by you. So this is the Parsha Ben Sora Amore. And interestingly, this is Parshas Kisetze. The Torah tells us the laws, the rules, the halachas of war. And this is what the Torah has to say about war. The first thing that we know about war is the Eishas Yifas Torah, is this woman of a beautiful form, is the sugya of Eishas Yifas Torah. Why is that the first thing, the only thing that the Torah tells us about going to war? Aren't there so many other important matters, halachas, mitzvos, that need to be discussed? You know, contemporarily, about 100 years ago or so, the Chavetz Chaim wrote a book, a sefer, for Jewish soldiers, an entire sefer, shorthand work, so that soldiers going to battle, the Russian army, the Ukrainian army, they would be prepared, and they would know what to do, how to deal with from waking up in the morning till going to sleep at night. We all know, living the world that we're living in now, there are a series of whole new halachas, how to daven, when to daven, you're not going to shul, you are going to shul. The world is a different place. We have to deal with Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, the Yom Narimer come. There's a whole new set of halachas when things aren't normal. So during wartime and warfare, there are a set of halachas that have to be taught to the Jewish people. So if we're calling this parasha, Parshas Kisetze, why not address other aspects of going to war? This is the only thing that the Torah deals with in this parasha regarding going to war. Because if you continue looking the parasha, then the Torah talks about the woman who is married, who has a ben ahuva and ben snua, right? A man who's married and has two wives. So the oldest of the sons is going to be the Bechor, and he receives Pishnayim. And then the Torah goes on to tell us about the Ben Sora Mor. So that's all we know about a Parsha that's titled Kiseitze La Milchama. Why is this the only thing that we know about war? Why doesn't the Torah tell us other aspects? Is the Eishes Yifas Torah so important? Is it the only thing that we have to know and learn about when it comes to war? So if you look back in Parsha Shoftim, that's really where the halacha, where the Chumash, the Torah, addresses battle and war. And interestingly, as we always point out, although we have the divisions of the Parshios based upon the way that we do, right, which is not the division halachically. However, Parsha Shoftim and Parshas Kiseitze are interlinked and interlocked. And in order to understand Parshas Kiseitze l'melchama, in order to understand the rules, the halachas, and the Chumash's way of addressing battle and war entering Eretz Yisrael, we need to turn back to Parsha Shoftim. And that's what we will do. And if you take a look on your Mar Makomos that you have in front of you, you'll look and you'll see identical words toward the end of Parsha Shoftim, last week's Parsha. Take a look. The Torah says, Kiseitze la milchama leidecha, identical. The exact same way that our Torah portion, Parsha's Kiseitze, opens, is exactly the way the Torah addresses battle earlier, last week's Parsha, Parsha Shoftim, in the sixth Aliyah. Kiseitze la milchama leidecha, v'reisa sus v'rechav am rav mcha. You're going to go out to battle and you're going to see an army, horse and chariots that are larger, greater, and stronger than you. Lo sira mehem, don't be afraid. Ki Hashem Elokecha imach hamalach ha-meretz Mitzrayim, the God who took you out of Egypt is with you. Now this seems to be an appropriate way to introduce battle and war, being mechazek klal Yisrael, inspiring the Jewish people. And that's what Pasuk Beis tells us. V'haya ki kir b'chem al milcham, it will come to pass when you're about to go to battle, to war. V'niga shakoin v'dibar l'am. The Kohen, and this is referred to as the special job of the Utzkon, as the Kohen Mashuach Milchama. The Kohen Mashuach Milchama was a Kohen whose special job, his only job, was to give the people a pep talk, a speech of inspiration. This was his job, the Kohen Mashuach Milchama. And what would he tell the soldiers before they go out to war? You'll be familiar with some of these psukim from other places, but the source, of course, of the psukim that you know, either from songs and from tefillah, is the Kohen Mashuach Milchama, his pep talk, his words of chizuk. Prior to soldiers going out to war, they need to hear words of inspiration. And listen to what the Kohen Mashuach Milchama would say. V'amar lehem, Shema Yisrael, atem krovim hayom l'melchama. Get ready, you're going out to war. Al yirach l'vavachem. Don't be afraid. Don't now allow your heart to be faint. Al tira'u, don't be scared. V'al tachbozu, don't be alarmed. V'al tarotz mipneim, don't be terrified of them. Ki Hashem Elokeichem ha'olech imachem lihilachim lachem imeveichem loshiaschem. Because a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be with you. This is the opening that we learn about war and battle. The Kohen Mashuach Milchama, his job was to go out and to inspire and to tell the people, don't be afraid, don't be scared. But let's say there are people who are still scared. That's what the Torah addresses here. Says the Torah in Pasuk Dalet, and hey, V'dibra shotum elam lemor, mi ha'esh asher bana bayis chadash lo anchancho. Is there anybody, is there any soldier amongst the hundreds and thousands of soldiers that I'm speaking to who just built a house and didn't yet inaugurate it? If there's anybody who falls in the category of just building a home and not being able to inaugurate it, go home. Pasuk Vav. Is there anybody who planted a vineyard and has not yet redeemed it? Go home. Pasuk Zayin. Mi ha'ish asher eras isha v'lo lekocha. Is there anybody who's engaged and has not yet married this woman? Go home. Don't worry about it. Somebody else will take your place. So this is the way that the Torah introduces battle. Go out. You can do it. Hashem is with you. But if you're still afraid and you fall into any of these categories, somebody's built a house and hasn't yet inaugurated it. Somebody who has planted a vineyard hasn't yet redeemed it. Somebody who is engaged and hasn't yet married. Says the Torah, these are the people who are exempt, including Pasuk Ches, Mi ha'ish ha'yare v'rach ha'levav. Is there anybody who's afraid, fearful, faint-hearted? Go home, because if you go to battle as a fearful scaredy cat, you're going to allow your brother's hearts to melt and you're not going to be able to be successful and everybody will fall apart. Pasuk Tes, V'haya kichalos ha-shotrim medaber la'am. As the shotrim, that's last week's parasha, finished speaking to the people, what did they tell the people? Go out, do your job, and get the job done. So this is the first parasha, the first section that we have about battle, war, as we enter the land of Eretz Yisrael, is parasha shoftim, this series of nine psukim, the Kohen Mashuach Milchama, his words of inspiration, and the four basic exceptions, the four people who do not have to go out to war, and it's a very logical introduction. That would be the way we want the Torah to introduce war and battle and warfare. There are people who should go, they should be inspired to go, there are people who are exempt. The Torah continues and tells us a second aspect of war. And if you look in the Chumash, and if you look in the actual Sefer Torah, you'll note that each of these are called parshios. They're introduced separately. They're parshios stumos. There are separate new parshios. So the first parsha that we have about battle, about warfare, is the inspiration of the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Mashuach Melchama, and the exemptions. But now take a look at the second parsha of war. Ki sikrav el ir lehilachim letz, in bold, pasuk yud, if you're going to go out to battle, v'karasa eleha l'shalom, the Torah tells us that the first thing you're supposed to do is not to go to war. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to make overtures of peace. That's the first thing you're supposed to do. So the first parasha tells us, going to war, prepare yourself to battle. But as soon as those who are exempt leave, and those who are prepared and inspired go to war, the second thing that you need to know about war is that you don't go to war. There are overtures of peace that you're supposed to make. Now, there are certain battles which are required. Milchemes Chova, the Shiva Amamim, Amalek, according to the Rambam, are wars that must be battled and fought. But outside of that, Milchemes Mitzvah, if you're going to approach a city to wage war against it, you should make overtures of peace. Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'hayim Shalom Ta'anecho Paschalach, V'hayo Kolam Nitzah Bayel Almas V'Avducha. If the warring enemy, and if the city that you're going to approach to fight is responding to that they want peace, then the people in that city shall serve you. They shall be yours. If they're not interested in peace and they're not responding affirmatively to the overtures of peace, then you'll besiege the city. And again, God promises that he will take care of the Jewish people. If you should strike all the males in the city with a sword. The women, the children, the livestock in the city, they should all be spoils that you could take for yourself. And Pasuk Tezva, V'chein Tasa, Chol Ara, Marachokus, Mimcha, Me'or, Asher Lo, Me'or, Yegoy, Me'ela, Eina. This is how we shall battle. This is how war goes. These are the rules of battle. Rak Me'or, Ha'amim, Ha'ela, Asher, Hashem, L'kech, Anos, L'cha, Nachala, Lo, Sich, Yekol, Neshama. However, there are certain people that you're not allowed to live. Who are those nations? The Shiva Amim, the seven nations that are living, inhabiting the land of Israel, that you're going to enter the land of Israel, says Moshe Rabbeinu, you have a commandment to utterly destroy them, no different than Amalek. Why? Leman says, Pasuk Yerches 18, Asher lo yilamadu eschem lasas kuchol to avskam, Asher asu la'alkechem chatas l'mashem alkechem. As we learned in last week's parsha, the land of Israel that the Jewish people are going to settle is a land that's inhabited by Ovdei Avodah Zarah, idol worshippers. And we got to rid the land of Israel. The land of Israel is holy. It's Kadosh. And there can't be any idol worship. And thus, the Shiva Amin, those seven nations who are articulated in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Chiti Emori, Knani, Prizi, Chivi, Vivusi, you got to destroy, kill, because we can't have them. So this is the second parsha of war. After the first parsha, and the end of Parsha Shoftim deals with who's permitted to go to war, who's exempt from war, and the inspiration of the Kohen Mashuach Milchama, we then learn the second section of war, and that's the overtures of peace that we're supposed to elicit and that we're supposed to invite. But if it's uninterested, then we need to know how to deal with the people in the city, and the exception, of course, being the seven nations. Now, we have a third parsha, a third section of war. Here it is, two psukim. Very important halacha. Ki satzur al ayir yamim rab, if you besiege a city for many days, lihilachim ala, to fight, lisafsa, to capture a particular city and the inhabitants, losashkis es eitzalim doach, You are prohibited from destroying, from cutting down any fruit-bearing trees. You are prohibited from cutting down any fruit-bearing trees, because those are trees that you can eat from, so therefore you can't cut them down. Says the Torah, is the tree of the field a man to go in and siege before it? It's inappropriate, it's wrong. You're prohibited, even when you go to battle, simply to chop down fruit-bearing trees for no purpose. Of course, if it's pikuach nefesh, you have to save your life, then you do whatever has to be done. But you simply don't go to war and start chopping down trees. That's not what we do. That's not what the Jew does. This, of course, is the source of the well-known halacha, bal tashchis. Bal tashchis, not to waste. Midiraisa, biblically speaking, is only discussing chopping down fruit-bearing trees. And if you look in Pasuk Chaf, Rak Eitz Asher Lo Teda Ki Lo Etz Ma'achal Hu Oso Sashkes, if you know that a tree is not a fruit-bearing tree, that one you could cut down. V'karasa Barisa Matzor Lir, and you could use it to build a matzor, bulwarks against the city. Asher Oso Lamach Milchama Aridita, because you're going to need those trees in order to protect yourself. But don't cut down the fruit-bearing trees. Here you have the third section, the third set of halachas, the third parsha of war, after the Kohen Mashuach Melchama, after the second parsha, which addresses the rules of making overtures of peace. The third section of war is the rule, the halacha bal tashkis, not to destroy a fruit-bearing tree. Only, as the Torah tells us in Pasuk Chaf, a tree that you know that is not a fruit tree, that one you could cut down, and that one you could use to create and to build a siege up against the city. So those are three parshios of war. Now, if you keep on going, that brings us to the next parsha. Ki seitze la melchama levecha, unesana asher mekech beidecha v'shavisa v'shivi arisa v'shivi eishes yifas tohar. That's the parsha that we just read. So therefore, it's much more logical now. There is a rhyme, and there is a reason, and there is a chronology to the parshios of war. So just because you open up Parshas Ki Seitze and you read about the Eishes Yifas Tohar, there are three sections of parshios already before. However, something sneaks in between, and that's going to be what we're going to address this morning. Look at this. After three parshios that address exactly war, right? When you read the first section, the opening of Parsha Shoftim, where it discusses the rules of war, Parak Chav, chapter 20, right here in the opening Parak Chav, Sefer Shoftim, the Torah tells us about the Koy Mashuach Melchama, number one. Then the Torah goes on to tell us about making overtures of peace in Pasuk Yud. And then the Torah in Pasuk Yud tells us about Bal Tashchis, not to destroy the fruit-bearing tree. All of a sudden, the Torah sneaks in after the three parshios of war, before this section right here about Parshas Ki Seitze and Eishes Yifas Tohar, the Torah sneaks in something that seems to be very random and something that has nothing to do with battle and with war altogether. Look at this. Ki simatze chalal be'adama. If you find a person, a corpse, in between two cities, you see a corpse in between two cities in the field, and it's not known who murdered this individual. This is what we know as the parsha of the Egla Arufa. The Egla Arufa, as we'll note momentarily, is going to be the Egel, this calf that's going to be axed down as a form of atonement for the fact that there's a Jew lying dead, a corpse in the field in between two cities. We don't know who murdered this individual. And Pasuk Beis tells us, Yatsu ziknecha v'shvatecha umadudu el ha'arim asher svivo sechal. You know what they do? You take out your rope, you take out your measuring stick, and you start to measure which city this corpse is closest to. V'haya ha'ir ha'krov el ha'chala, on the city that's closest to the corpse. V'lak chuzikni ha'ir ha'hi eglas bak ashel ubarba ashel lo mashka be'aleha ol. You take a calf, which has never been worked, which has never been used to do work, and you're going to take this calf, you're going to axe it, you're going to kill it as an atonement for the death of this individual, as we don't know which city is responsible for the death of this man. You bring this calf to a valley. And what do? You axe, you decapitate the head of this calf. And then the Kohanim, as it's stated in Pasuk Hey, they say and they recite psukim saying, Kapel amcha Yisrael asher padisa pasuk ches, v'altitin tamnaki b'kerv amecha Yisrael v'nechapel hamadam. We recite these verses, the Kohanim recite these verses, that there should be an atonement for the people, for the death of this person. Pasuk Tes, the last pasuk in all of Parsha Shoftim. Ve'ata, and you shall tivayir adam anaki mikirbecha, kitasa yashar b'nei Hashem. This blood, which has been shed innocently as a result of the axing of this calf, should be an atonement for the people. The question of all questions, which we will address this morning, is what is this Parsha doing here? The Egla Arufa, Perek Chaf Aleph, Psukim Aleph, through Tess, is doing smack in the middle of the Parshios of battle, of warfare. Look, it's very obvious and it's very clear now. The Torah is giving us four Parshios, four sections, four mitzvos of battle of war. The first, as you see right here, is the Barsha of the Kohen Mashuach Melcham, inspiring the pep talk to the people, the exemptions to battle. Parak Perek Chaf Psukim Aleph through Tes. Pasuk Yud through Pasuk Yud Ches is the second parsha of battle, the overtures of peace, and the requirement to destroy and to murder and to get rid of the Shiva Amamim. The third section of war, Perek Chaf Psukim Yud Tes and Chaf, Bal Tashches, don't destroy the fruit-bearing tree. The fourth section of war, the beginning of our parsha, Parshas Kiseitze, the laws, the halachas, the rules of the Eishes Yifas Tohar. But for some reason, the Torah decides to stick in Perek Chaf Aleph Psukim Aleph Til Tes, the parsha of the Egla Arufa. And this parsha, these nine psukim, seem to be disjointed. They don't belong in between the four parshios of battle of war. It has nothing to do with it. Why does the Torah specifically place the laws, the rules, the halacha of the Egla Arufa, an individual, a corpse that's found murdered, dead, in between two cities? And the halacha tells us that the Zakenim go out and they measure to which cities are closer. The Kohanim come out and they take an axe and they decapitate the calf. They recite the psukim and the words that say that it's not our responsibility, we have nothing to do with it, and then there's atonement for the people. Why are we bringing this parsha here? Why is this the last section of Parsha Shoftim? And why is Parsha's Kiseitze the conclusion of Parsha Shoftim? We should have concluded Parsha Shoftim with this section right here. Kiseitze la milchama levechem, asan Hashem lekech b'yadecha v'shavisa shivyo. That should have been the end of Parsha Shoftim. String together all four Parshios of war, and then start Parsha's Kiseitze with Kimatze chala be'adama. Start Parsha's Kiseitze with the Egla Arufa. Why are these psukim, why is this parsha, the parsha of Egla Rufa, stuck in between these four parshios of war, following three and before the fourth? I'd like to share with you this morning five approaches, as you see on the paper, to answer this question. Meforshei HaChumash and Parshas Kiseitze are extremely busy understanding the juxtaposition of the psukim in the parsha. Trying to figure out, if you're familiar with Rashi, Rashi throughout Sefer Dvarim and throughout the Sefer Chamisha Chumshei Torah always tries to understand the juxtaposition of parshas. Why is this parsha next to that parsha? There must be a reason, right? Classically, we're all familiar in Parshas Naso, Lama Nismacha, Parshas Sota, the Parshas Nazir. Why are those parshios of Nazir and Sota connected to each other? So Rashi tells us, based upon the Gemara, Kolaroa Sota Bekilkula Yazir Atzma Minayayin. Anybody who sees and witnesses the event of the Sota should abstain from drinking wine. But that's not the only time we have parshios smuchos. That's not the only time we have juxtaposition of parshios and the Torah wants to understand. Throughout Parshas Kiseitze, Parshas Kedoshim, we ask the question, why are two mitzvos next to each other? Why is this mitzvah next to that mitzvah? And the Torah explains, and Rashi explains what the reason for that is. And here too, Meforshei HaChumash go to great length to try to understand why the parsha of Egla Arufa is stuck in between the parshas of Melchama. And it's such a strong question that all Meforshim try to raise different possibilities. The Rishonim who address Pshat, the Rishonim who address Drash, Remes, Sod, Pardes, all Meforshei HaChumash try to understand what the parsha of the Egla Arufa is doing in the middle. The first approach to answer this question, which you may be thinking about, is the answer of the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim is the son of the Rosh. Baal HaTurim is most famous for his commentary, the Tur, which is the four sections, really, which is the introduction, the backdrop, and the backbone to Shulchan Aruch Rabbi Yosef Karo's Shulchan Aruch. But the Tur was the son of the Rosh, and not only the Tur write a commentary and delineate and arrange halacha, but the Tur also has a commentary on the Torah. And in his commentary on the Torah, he says a very simple answer. When you go to war, and when there's a battle, and where there's a war, you know what's going to happen? They're going to be halalim. They're going to be corpses. That's just the facts. That's what's going to happen. And therefore, the Torah needs to address that right now. So therefore, after the three parshios of war, number one, Aleivecha, the inspiration of the Kohen Mashiach Melchama. Number two, the overtures of peace. Number three, Bal Tashlis. It's very logical, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, to start to deal with Chalol, to deal with the person, the corpse, the slain person who's found on the ground. Says the Balat Turim, that's the reason specifically why, even though each of the four parshas are discussing and addressing war specifically, Kiseitze La Melchama, you got to deal with the aftermath of war, the aftermath of battle. You know what's going to be. It's not going to be clean. It's not going to be back to normal right away. The peace is going to happen. There's going to be a treaty. And life is going to go back to normal. But you're going to have to deal when you're walking around that there's going to be a corpse in the field. How are you going to deal with that? What's the halacha? What are the rules? That's why the Torah specifically addresses right here, right now, says the Baal HaTurim. That's the first answer to the question. But that's not the only answer. If you take a look in the Ibn Ezra, one of the classic Mefarshei HaPshat, who you would have thought would have said what the Baal HaTurim says, but says something different. It's also a Pshat. It's also a textual answer to this question. What are we doing with the Parsha of Egla Arufa here? Says the Baal HaTurim, war, battle, which is being described, articulated here in Parshios Shoftim and Parshios Kiseitze, is something that's on a national level. The Jewish people, Klal Yisrael, are battling Chitiyem, Mori, Yevusi. We're talking about war. We're talking about major national battles. The Jewish people are entering the land of Eretz Yisrael that's been promised to them. There's going to be war. There's going to be battle, the warfare. We need to handle that. But says the Ibn Ezra that we have to address at the same time not only national, but also individual death. And that's what we're going to deal with here. At the time and at the place where we're dealing specifically with warfare on a national level, on a global level, on an international level, and on a national level in the land of Israel, we also have to deal with death on an individual level. And in Eretz Yisrael specifically, because the mitzvah, the halachas of Egla Arufa are specific and unique to the land of Israel, Eretz Yisrael. If you see a corpse laying on the ground, says the Ibn Ezra, we can't just describe in detail and articulate the laws of war and battle on a national level, on a warfare level, when Klal Yisrael, when the land of Israel and the Jewish people are battling other nations and warring nations. We also have to deal with the individual death and the loss of life and the corpse that's on the ground. That's the Ibn Ezra's pshat as to why the juxtaposition of the parsha of the Egla Arufa specifically here and now. Because it's two sides of the same coin. One side of the coin is death, is war on a national level. And on the other side of the coin is the Egla Arufa. When you see one corpse lying in the field in between two cities, now's the time, now's the place to address it. There's a third pshat, and this is the pshat of the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel in two places asks this question, both at the end of Parsha Shoftim as well as the beginning of Parshas Kiseitze. And the Abarbanel says the following. The Abarbanel says, if you look at Parsha Shoftim, the way we explained Parsha Shoftim last week, as its name indicates, Parsha Shoftim deals with Shoftim v'chotrim, officers and judges. As we detailed at length last week, the job of the Shofet, the Shota, the judge and the officer. Not only does it deal with the Parsha of Shoftim v'chotrim, it also deals with the Parsha HaMelech, the laws of the king. Not only does it deal with the king, it also deals with the Navi, the prophet. Not only does it deal with the prophet, it also deals with the laws of the Kohen. Therefore, says the Abarbanel, Shoftim ends with things that are necessary for the Shofet, the Shoter, the Zekanim, and the Kohen. Because the parsha of Egla Ruf, if you go back to it now, you'll see that there are many different people involved. Number one, as Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Beis tells us, V'yatsu zekeinecha v'shoftecha. You know who's responsible for the parsha of Egla Rufa? The elders and the judges. But not only the elders and the judges, because if you look at Pasuk Hei, V'nikshu ha-kohanim b'nei Levi, the kohanim, they're the ones who are going to go out, and they're the ones who are going to go with Pasuk Gavachol, Ziknei ha'ir hi ve'krovim al-chalol. They're all going to go out, and they're going to recite the following Pasuk, Kapil amcho yisrael, sherpadis Hashem el-titin dam nokit yikar v'amach yisrael, v'nechapil lohem adam. Parsha Shoftim says the Abar Benel concludes with the Egla Arufa because Parsha Shoftim deals with the mitzvos, the halachos, the requirements, the responsibilities of the Shoftim, the Shotrim, the Zakenim, and the Kohanim. And therefore the Egla Arufa is incumbent upon them. It's their responsibility. They're the leadership who's going to have to take the first crack at dealing with the corpse that's found in the field that we don't know which city it's closest to. So the Zakenim are involved. The Shochim are involved. The Shoftim are involved. The Kohanim are involved. Therefore, Parsha Shoftim is dealing with all of the leaders of Klal Yisrael, Be'eretz Yisrael. We have to make sure to deal with the Egla Ruf as well. It's the right place. It's the right time. It's the right location. Therefore, says the Abar Benel, that's the reason that the parsha of Egla Rufa is immediately after the three parshios of battle of warfare at the end of Parsha Shoftim, right before the introduction of the Eishes Yifas Toar in Parshas Kisetze. Those three reasons that I've given you thus far to justify and to explain why it is that the parsha of Egla Arufa is listed here are all answers on a pshat level. Right, we know Pardes, Pshat, Drash, Remes, so there are four different ways to interpret, to explain, to elucidate Psukim in the Torah. So the Baal HaTurim, the Eben Ezra, and the Abar Benel, each of those three reasons that I just explained, either because practically, like the Baal HaTurim says, they're going to be Chalalim, they're going to be corpses after war, you got to deal with it. The Eben Ezra's explanation, the war is on a national level, and the Chalal is on an individual level. The Pshat of the Abar Benel, that Shoftim deals with the Shoftim, the Melech, and now the Kohen Gadol, we have to take care of that all in one Parsha. Let me share with you three other explanations, not on a Pshat level, but on a Drash level. And very, very interesting ones indeed. The Klei Yakar, the classic commentary on Chamisha Chum Shetar, the student of the Maharal in Prague, has a very, very homiletic explanation to describe, to explain, and to elucidate why it is that the Parsha of Egla Arufa is written where it is. And he writes, it's such a simple reason, I don't know why anybody else didn't think about it. And when you read the pshat of the Klei Yakar, you say to yourself, I don't know how he thought about this, because it's such a homiletic pshat. It's so original, it's so creative, and it's so thoughtful. He thinks it's pasha pshat. But really, it is a fascinating understanding. And he says that if you look at the parsha of the Egla Rufa, what's right before it? It's the parsha Balkashas, not cutting down a fruit-bearing tree. That's the parsha, those are the psukim, yotes and chaf. Immediately before the Egla Rufa, and what's the yesod? What's the real point of the parsha of Baal Tashris? It's teaching us that nothing that we have can go to waste. We, the Jewish people, are green. We recycle. We care about plant life. We care about the animal kingdom. We care about trees. We care about inanimate objects. We care about the world that God gave us. God gave us trees. He gave us a beautiful foliage. He gave us fruit-bearing trees, vegetables. We care about them, even though during war, we're not going to chop them down for no reason. That's Pasuk Yates. It's underlined. You can eat the apples, you can eat the fruits, you can eat all the oranges, the pears, the blueberries, the raspberries. We're going to eat them. Don't chop it down for no reason. We don't waste anything. Says the Klei Yakar, that's the next parsha. If you find a chalal ba'adama, if you find a corpse on the ground, not only is it just as important as a fruit tree, but it's even more important. If the Torah cares about not chopping down a fruit-bearing tree because it has offspring, it has fruit to share with the world, Nebuch lo aleinu, look at what has happened. We found a chalal, a chalal ba'adam, we found a corpse on the ground, a fruit tree, a human being, life, which is so critical, which is so important, which has now been shot down and doesn't have the ability to share its offspring and fruit with the world. That, says the Klei Yakar, is why the parsha of chalal, and the Parsha of Egla Rufa is juxtaposed to the Parsha of Baal Tashlis. The Torah gives very, very clear, articulate concern about life, about human life, the value of a person, a value of people, the value of humanity, no different than the reason that we care so much and that we prohibit chopping down a fruit-bearing tree because it has what to give the world. A non-fruit-bearing tree is a separate halacha. That's only rabbinic halacha. It's only rabbinic injunction that you can't chop that down if you don't need it. But here, that's why the Torah tells us immediately after the halachas of Baal Tashlis, the halacha is telling us that you can't destroy a fruit-bearing tree. We then begin to talk about the value of human life, the importance of every single human being, and therefore that's why the Parsha of Egla Ruf is listed here as well. That's the Klei Yakar. However, not only does the Klei Yakar say something, but the Beis Yitzchak. The Beis Yitzchak, and also known as the Sefer Koheles Yitzchak, was a well-known maggid in the city of Vilna, and he traveled and he gave different drushas and beautiful homiletic explanations. It's a two-volume work, a classic. Actually, I should mention, Rabbi Bleich gave it to me as a present early on when I arrived here. As he leaves today, I'll mention his name. And I have, thanks to him, I have the Sefer Beis Yitzchak, and he says something very, very fascinating. Listen to what he says. He says, a psychological analysis of war. He says as follows. People go to war. People fight. You have regular civilians. We all know. Some of us have children and grandchildren, right, in the army. They're good kids, sweethearts, lovely kids, good people. They go to war and they have to take on a different personality. They have to become tough and rough, and they have to deal with some of the most difficult things and those things that they see and the requirements that they have to kill others, albeit that it's an enemy. Says the Beis Yitzchak, we're concerned and nervous that it's going to have an impact on each and every soldier. Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, Rachmanim by Shanim and Gomlei Chasad, by nature in our DNA, we are caring, loving people. We're righteous, tzedek tirdof, like we learned in last week's parsha. The Jewish people are compassionate. They're loving. We take care of people. B'nei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. We love people. We love humanity. We take care of people. We invite them into our home. Pikrochola, Machnas, Eskala, Levayas, Ameis. Staka. Who's better at that? Who's greater at that than the Jewish people? But we have to go to war. We have to fight. Says the Beis Yitzchak, don't allow, soldier, that the warfare is going to change your personality, essence, and who you are as a Jew. It's true, you got to go to war. But when you go to war, you're going to become a different person. So much so, the Rambam says when a soldier goes to war, he has to forget about his family. And he has to put himself into a different state of mind because he's going in with a mentality that I have to destroy to kill. Because this is the land of Israel and it's our responsibility to uphold it. But don't allow that murderous personality and the requirements that we have now to change who you are. And therefore, the Parsha of the Egla Rufa speaks about the sensitivity that we have to have and that we see in times of war, death, and hundreds and thousands of corpses. And we're going to just walk past, says the Torah, no. That's not the way of the Jew. Yes, we're required to fight and we're required to battle. We're required to defend ourselves and required to be aggressive when it comes to the land of Israel. But yes, you're going to go to war and I'm concerned, the Torah says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands the personality and the essence of the human being, that it could change and shape it, a person. We all know PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, that so many had after going to battle, after going to war, after being in the army, Vietnam, Korean War, wherever it was. The Torah says, let's talk about that now. Because you're going to leave, you're going to see a corpse on the floor. You got to care about that one person. You got to care and got to appreciate. Don't allow that to change your persona, your essence. Because we, Torah people, care about every human being and we care and we value life. Don't forget it. And as you're walking back and as you see a corpse, as you see a dead body lying on the floor, care for it and have rachmanis. And anybody who has spoken to Holocaust survivors, those in the DP camps and those who were in the bunkers and those who were in the various different camps, when they saw death and corpses, it became so commonplace, so normal, so regular to see skeletons lying on the floor. And the necessity that it had to have and to change us was so powerful. what it meant to bury a person, to care for the dead, was something that was very hard to change because it became so natural and so normal. And therefore the Torah says we have to shake ourselves up, we have to change that, and we have to make sure that the parsha of the egel aruf, and look how careful and measured we are. You have to check and count meters, inches, which city is this corpse closest to? And listen to the words that the Kohanim say, Kaper Nalam Chesel, you have to atone for the Jewish people, for the city that has done this. It's not our responsibility, we're sorry, it's not our fault. Because we care about the corpse, and we have rachmanis, and we can't allow war to change us. The final pshat that I'll share with you is a pshat from Rabbi Ruderman, Zichron Levracha, the late Rosh Hashiva of Ne'er Yisrael. I saw it quoted by Rabbi Friend. It's a very similar pshat to that of the Beis Yitzchak, and he says that what the Torah is teaching us here is the value of human life in the context of war and death. In the context of war and death, death and life seems to be meaningless almost, that we're just killing. And at that point, it becomes such a brutal environment and so intense that we almost feel that the value of life has been taken away and has been totally changed. Thus, Rav Ruderman Zichron Levracha explains that the parash of Egel Arufa is specifically given here to show us how much we care about humanity, how much we care about life, how much we care about human beings, how much we care about one person. The Egel Arufa is atonement for the death of one innocent person. That's it. And when you're at battle and you see the death of hundreds and thousands and their corpses everywhere, it could change you. Says Rabbi Ruderman, don't allow it to do that. But more than that, the Parsha of Egel Arufa tells us that we value human life. We care about each and every single individual. And therefore, the Parsha of Egel Arufa is given to us here specifically to tell us we care about people. We care about one person. We value human life. And that, says Rabbi Ruderman, is the pshat why the Egel Arufa is listed here. So to summarize, we have six different pshatim as to why in between the parashios of Milchama, we find the parasha of Egel Arufa, three pshatim on a pshat level. The Balaturim, the Ibn Ezra, and the Abarbanel explain on a pshat level why it is exactly and specifically that the Egel Arufa is given here. And three other pshatim, the Kleyakar, the Beis Yitzchak, and Rabbi Ruderman explain to us why the parasha of Egel Arufa is listed and mentioned where it is, more on a drash, on a homiletic level. And just to conclude, if you keep on looking throughout Parshas Ki Tzetze, following in the path of the Beis Yitzchak and Rabbi Ruderman, you see that the Torah goes on to continue talking about the care, the concern we have for life. And if you look at the next pasuk immediately in Perek Chav Beis, at the end of Perek Chav Aleph, rather, right after the Parsha of the Eishes Yafas Torah, after the parsha of the Ben Ahuva and the Ben Snua, after the parsha of the Ben Sora, Mora, the Torah tells us that if there's a Jew who's found guilty and is going to be hung, because that is the psak halacha of Chenek, lo salin nivlaso la eitz, you can't allow the corpse to be hanging. Ki kaver tikvarena biyomu, you got to bury the person that day. Ki kilas elokim taloi, you can't allow a human being who's built and who's fashioned b'tzelem elokim in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu just to be left hanging. And then the Torah in Perek Chavez goes on to tell us that the concern we have before the property of other human beings. Hashev Tashivin, the laws of Hashavas Aveda, returning the lost object, the lost animal, the lost dress. Chol Aveda Sachicha, all lost objects. And then the Torah goes on to tell us other halachas about care and concern. The mitzvah of Kan Tzipor, shooing away the mother bird before taking its offspring. Also, the Rambam explains, is there to explain to us the sensitivity that we have to have. The sensitivity that we have for plant life, for animals, is the same. We care about Tashkis not to destroy the fruit-bearing tree. In the beginning of Parshas Ki Tzetze, we have to care about not destroying animal life, the animal kingdom, and shooing away the mother bird before you take its offspring, because we care about the animal kingdom. And then the Torah goes on and tells us you have to make a makah, a fence around your roof, because we want to make sure that we're protecting chas v'shalom, the loss of life. You want to make sure that nobody falls off a roof. Therefore, you have the mitzvah of makah. So if you look throughout Parshas Kiseitze, piggybacking, juxtaposed to the Parsha of the Egla Rufa, juxtaposed to all of the Parshas of Melchama, when we're dealing with battle, when we're dealing with war, the Torah says, yes, it's true, there has to be war. And it's true that there's going to be death. It's imminent. It has to be that way. But don't forget that the Torah is a book of life. Torah is a Torah's chayim. We care about people, we love people, and we think even about the individual. The Egla Arufa teaches us all that, and that's Parshas Kiseitze. As we prepare for war, and as we go for war, and as we enter Eretz Yisrael's Moshe Rabbeinu, prepares us to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael. These are things that we have to address, that we have to deal with. Things that we don't want to talk about, but we're forced to talk about. Things that we don't want to do, but we have to do. And therefore, the Torah tells us and stresses to us, but don't allow that to define you. Don't allow that to define Klal Yisrael. That's not who we are. The things that we have to do, the things that we don't like doing, often the things that we don't like to do, but we have to do them. And it's true when it comes to war as well. And therefore, that's what the Parsha of Egla Arufa, and that's what the other Parshas following the Egla Arufa come to teach us, the care, the love, the concern that we have for humanity, that we have for society, that we have for the plant life, and that we have for the animal kingdom. May it be Hashem's will. That we're zochet to shalom, to peace, to yeshuas, to nechamos, to simchas, and everybody should have a wonderful, wonderful week ahead. Shavuot tov to each and every single one of you. Best regards.